church say amen?
Amen.
I want to say good morning to everyone. God has been good to us once again. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, on a personal note this morning, I was very saddened to hear of the death of someone this past week, a very dear friend of mine. He had preached his sermon on last Sunday, from what I understand, and was on his way to his seat, and he never made it back to his seat. He's a pretty widely known minister. I won't call his name at this point. If you'd like to know his name, please just see me afterwards. But I've been knowing him for over 20 years, and I spent a lot of time with him before he went to his current assignment. But it lets me know that God is still in charge. And God knows just the very day and the very hour that we shall be called. We don't, but God knows. So with that in mind, let us just live our days as though each and every day might be the last day. For the Bible tells us to be ye also ready. In other words, be ready, for the time is coming. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Mark chapter 4, and actually we're going to pick up some other verses in there. I thank Brother Hall for reading those scriptures, but let us start with verse number 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. This morning, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about where did the seed fall. But first of all, let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, we are blessed once again because we have been left here to serve thee in spirit and truth one more time. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father. We could have been gone, but you left us here, and we thank you. Father, we are so blessed this morning to be able to worship thee in the church of Christ, the church that your son Jesus built. And we thank you, O Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your goodness and mercy that we have been receiving all of our lifetimes. And we continue to ask you to continue to bless us even more so as we continue in the path called life. Father, we thank you for the church, especially this local congregation here. We thank you for its leaders. We thank you for their families. We thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we thank you for their families. But Father, we thank you for all families that are represented here today, and we pray for those who are not represented that they may soon be able to be a part of the body of Christ. Father, we thank you this morning, and we are praying for those that are sick and those that are shut in. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that your healing might continue to heal them, that they may be able to be back with us once again. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into this next portion of the services, we pray that the things we do today might be found decent and in order and acceptable in thy sight. These and all other blessings we ask in the name of Jesus, the one who went to yonder's cross. We say it all and ask it all. Amen. The Bible is the perfect book. It contains our history. It tells of man's beginnings and our end. It teaches us right from wrong, and it tells us the results of our actions. In our text today, we find Jesus making a comparison of his kingdom to that of a seed sower, or a farmer, if you will. It teaches that the seed is the word, the sower are those who spread the word, and the soil is the heart of man. We are to sow wherever we go, so what happens to the seed once it is sowed? It depends. Some seed is going to produce no fruit. We speak relative to people who could care less about God and His Word, those who only acknowledge God in a fleeting moment, such as, "Oh, God, this pain is unbearable to me. Yet I refuse to know you when I am well." These are the kind of people that I speak of. They'd rather than accept the word of God, they reject it. Some are in denial, and some even hate the mentioning of the word God or the name of God. In verse number 15 of Mark chapter 4, I want you to notice something. It describes them as they who by the wayside. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. After they hear the word, in which they hear by ear only, not with their heart. The word or the seed never reaches their heart. The seed landed where the birds could eat it up. Them that landed by the wayside, where Satan could pick up and immediately before they could reach the heart of the man or the men. Many may hear the word, yet they refuse to adhere to it. They are what the Bible describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Some will never accept the word of God as truth. But to us which are believers, we recognize it as the power of God, and we believe in the doctrine of the cross of Christ. The cross where he died upon it for us and not for himself. But some are going to produce false fruit. These are they of whom the seed falls on stony ground. They may get baptized. They appear to receive the word with gladness. Look at verse number 16, if you will. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it with gladness. Some even show signs of being a true Christian. They may work in the church, such as to offer a prayer to God from time to time. In the case of their baptism, all they did in most cases was just simply get wet. Verse number 17, if you notice what it says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They have no root. These seeds are waiting and wanting in truth. Many of these people are lacking in love, in humility, in faith, and most of all, in their hearts. Their hearts are not changed because the word has not taken root. The word of God speaks of being rooted and grounded in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The word of God is true, and therefore will always cause Satan to work at his mission. So watch out. Which is why 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 issued a warning to us. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. False fruit is produced when one professes the gospel but never possesses it or in their hearts. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But then in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe it, you need to confess it. And if you confess it, you need to own it. In other words, don't say it for me. Believe it for yourself. Some of us are like 11 o'clock Christians, but I went a little bit further than that. Some of these are the ones who have one up on the 11 o'clock Christians. You might say they are the 11:30 Christians. Their plan is to get into church just in time for the sermon to be half over. Put in the same $2 they put in for the last 3 years. Spend enough time looking around at the church for something or someone to talk about, not recognizing their own shortcomings. You know the kind I'm talking about, this. Let me say this. If this is not you, then I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking around you. But if the shoe fits, you must wear the shoe. Some seed produces sterile fruit. These are they which receive the word, were saved, but never developed enough to produce abundant fruit. Some are not committed Christians. Instead, they are what you call hit and miss Christians. Look at verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The word doesn't settle in them. Oh yes, they heard the word, but they have something else on their mind. Look at verse number 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. They many times fall into the category of what's known as holiday Christians. You know, the kind that show up on Mother's Day, on Easter, on Christmas, and just maybe if you're having such a day as Family Day, they may show up then. They show up for special event, maybe. They can't be counted on to fit into a working role in the church. They are what you may call the 30-fold Christian. Then there are the 60-fold Christian. They were saved, but they never had things just right. They had other things on their mind. They can or won't serve God to their fullest. Let me make a suggestion to you this morning. I suggest this morning that we need are more 100-fold Christians, otherwise known as full-time Christians. Let us learn to be good sowers, for we know that God will bless His word. Somebody said, well, preacher, how do you know that God will bless His word? Well, Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. God's word will always mean what He says, and it will always be the way He says. And the fruit of His word shall produce the fruit He plans. In other words, God shall always have the final say so. For us as sowers, let us strive to put the fruit where others can get it. And no, we may never see the seeds that we sow come up and bear fruit, but that's not what you should be looking for. You should be looking just to sow the seed and let God handle the bringing up of it. Are you sowing for the Lord this day? Or are you waiting around for someone else to do it and then be critical of them by saying things like, that's not the way I would have done it. But yet you don't do it at all. You either work in the vineyard or you move over so others can. When we as seed sowers, just as farmers, know that some of their seed will not take hold, but that doesn't mean they stop sowing. That doesn't mean that we stop sowing. Some seed shall fall by the wayside, and some on stony ground, some among thorn, and oh yes, some shall fall on good ground. We just got to keep on sowing. Look at the text again in verse number 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air, or the fowls of the air, came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, or in other words, it dried up. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. So my question this morning to you is, when you're sowing, how are you sowing? How are you hoping that your, where do you hope your seed will fall? You know, God's word is an amazing piece, amazing work. Whatever God says to us to do, it's not for us to question it. We are just supposed to do it. We don't worry about how it's going to get worked. We just do it the way God tells us to do it, and God will work it out. Now, for those of you who say things like, I don't want to go out and try to talk to people, I got news for you this morning. You must be a seed sower. You must work in God's vineyard in order that His word may come to fruition through you who are the seed sowers. Now, what does that mean? What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. When you sow seed, which is the word of God, you hope that your seed takes root. But sometimes they won't, as we just heard in this text here. But then you know something? God will work that out. The sower soweth the word in verse number 14. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And look at verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering and choke the word, and it become unfruitful. In other words, you just sow. Let God take care of the growth. You just sow. God will do the nurturing, but you've got to sow. And what do you mean, preacher, that I've got to sow? Well, you've got to get to work. We've got to get to work. How do we get to work? Somebody said, well, let's go knocking on doors. I got some news for you. People are not that friendly when you knock on their doors these days. So I know you have to be careful there. But what can we do? Well, we've got a rack full of tracks out there. If you ride the bus, offer a track to someone. If you got a job, when you get to your job, I know it's against the rules at most companies to talk about religion, but just whisper in somebody's ear and say, "Do you know the Lord?" And that, just let it go from there. Just pass on the track and let it go. And then there are us, those of us who visit people in the hospitals from time to time. Take a track with you to the hospital and leave it at the bedside of someone. Leave it at their bedside and ask them to just distribute it or pass it along. This is sowing seed. These are ways that we can all do God's work for us, for Him, to help Him in His work. Now, God doesn't need our help, but we are His feet here on earth. So we need to learn to work for the Lord, because I know what some of us say. I go to church on Sunday. Isn't that enough? I don't believe that it is. I do not believe that all you need to do is come in church, because as I said, there are some who don't get here till 11:30 anyway, and I'm not talking about anybody here. So before you start throwing rotten fruit at me, I'm not talking about you. I know you get here at 11 o'clock or a little bit before. And I know some people get here even earlier than that. They're here for Bible school. So I'm not talking about you, but I'm simply saying there needs to be more done. There needs to be more of a organizational type work. You see, the elders can't grow the church by themselves. The preacher can't grow the church by himself. The member, any particular member can't grow the church by him or herself. We must all come together collectively as a body and do some work and get out there and meet with people and talk to people. Now, somebody is probably saying, "Well, when I go to church on Sunday, that should be enough." Well, as I mentioned to you before, that's not enough. You see, when you sit up in here on Sunday, you're here with the same group. And maybe, yes, maybe we'll get a visitor. Maybe we'll get somebody's relative from out of town pops in and they come to church with you. But we're going to see the same group. We need to expand our horizons. We need to make sure that we're reaching other folk. You know, there are some folk who don't know about the Church of Christ. Not through necessarily their own fault, but because no one has introduced them to the Church of Christ. No one has sowed seed to them. No one has told them about what Jesus said, "Up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Maybe they don't know that. You have the opportunity to sow a seed. You have the opportunity to get out there and get some extra seed sowed. Instead, you know what a lot of folk will do? They'll call the preacher and say, "Preacher, I met somebody, and they don't know about the church. Can you call them up?" Well, you already was in sight of them. You already have seen them. How come you couldn't just take it up on yourself and say, "Listen, let me explain the church"? And you do know about the church, don't you? How come you can't just say, "Let me explain to you about the church. Let me tell you something about the church. I've been going to the Church of Christ all my life." I'm not speaking to me now individually. I'm speaking to those of us who fit that situation. Some have been in the Church of Christ all their lives, so they ought to know something about it, wouldn't you think? I think so. So when they have this opportunity to sow a seed, now I'm not saying don't call the preacher for backup, don't call the elders for backup. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying, take some initiative on your own. And when you take this initiative on your own, you ask God in self-prayer with God, you ask God to guide you on what you should say. But I got news for you. When you start explaining the church to somebody, sometimes something seems to happen in your mind and you know more than you think you know when you start out. It just seems to come and flow to you. That's because you've been listening for some portion of your life in the church. And when you start to explain it to me, then maybe I'm that person that's never met the church or known about Jesus Christ's church. Then it begins to dawn on me, well, that kind of makes sense. And if that makes sense to me, maybe I need to investigate that for a little bit. Maybe I need to go a little further. And then maybe that next Sunday morning, maybe they show up. And you know what they usually say? I was talking to a man or a woman who told me they go here, and I got their name here, and they told me to come in and visit the church. And immediately kind of let the preacher know so he can kind of redirect parts of his message to them. So see, he'll help you sow the seed as well. Tell the elders about it. So in the Bible class, Brother Jackson can hit on something that he may not have decided to hit on otherwise. So he'll help sow the seed. Maybe Brother Burnside might have a answer to a question, and he might tailor his answer so that that person may understand a little better. So we come together as a team. That's what I'm saying about sowing seed. We need to be a team. And when we become this team, you know what? Do you spell team with an I? Team does not have an I in it. So when you spell team, that means we all get together. Not I got with the person, but not you got with the person, but we came together as one. And then, just maybe then, we can come up and bring in a new Christian. We can get a new one baptized into the body of Christ and a new one added to the church. But when you sow your seed, you gotta kind of watch what you're doing, because sometime in sowing seed, you can sow it at the wrong person. And when you sow it at the wrong person, you might wind up getting hurt. Now, I'm not saying back away from anybody, but you have enough sense to know, didn't the Bible tell the disciples to sometime you have to do what? You have to shake the dust off. In other words, you have to move along. So all I'm saying is we need to get busy, church. We need to get busy so that our board can look better than it's been looking here recently. We need to get busy so that our numbers can go up. And you know I say this from time to time. And just when I say it, everybody seems to get in a relaxed mode and go back to doing a giving like you was before. But you got to keep on giving. If you can give a little more, give a little more. That helps to spread the seed even better. Now, I didn't mean to go off too far into this. I just meant to kind of stay where I was at. But I'm just about finished, and I just want you to know that we as a team can work this together. We as a team can help build the church. And then when we help build the church, we as a team can say, this is the church that I go to. This is the church that I'm a part of. This is the church that I'm a member of. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had enough people in the congregation where we had to have two services, or even an evening service, if you will, wouldn't it be wonderful? Instead of opening the doors in the, for an evening service and you get five or six people, and I'm speaking from experience, I'm not speaking something that I'm pulling out of the air. We used to do an evening service, and it was the same six people every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, six people showed up, and that's not enough to turn the heat or the air conditioning on in this big building. That's not cost effective, since everybody is worrying about cost these days. But what does it cost to save a life, to save a soul? But it makes sense to the ones who are the stewards of the church that guard over God's money. See, and let me just explain that while I'm there. The money you put in is not your money. It's God's money. So it makes sense for the elders to make a decision to say, let's not open the church up for six people on Sunday, because it's the same six people. Let's not open the church up for those same six people. They were already here Sunday morning. So why are we bringing, why are they coming back? Because we know they are the faithful one. We know who's going to be there. We don't. If we had to take attendance, we could just check their names off. The same six people. We know. Yes, 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 yes. The same six people. Don't you want to see more than the same six? Don't you want to see the same old six? Oh, I got nothing against seeing the same people over and over again. I love you all. I tell you that all the time. But I would like to see some new faces in the place. I would like to see some new converts. I would like to see some new members. I would like to see some young folks so that we'd have something to get a class going with them. I would like to see some new folk who can, we can form a class to raise up more leaders in the church and more preachers. I'm not going to preach forever. I'm not going to be able to. And I just had a birthday, and sometimes I start wondering, was that my last sermon there? But nevertheless, I'm appealing to the church this morning. Let's become better seed sowers. Let's become seed sowers. Not let's become better. Let's become seed sowers. Now, I'm waiting for your ideas. You can run them by the elders, and then the elders, they'll make the decision, but you can run it by the elders. Say, let's, Elder Jackson, Elder Burnside, I got an idea here how we may be able to sow a few more seeds. Run it by them. Don't be afraid of being shot down. You can't get shot down unless you bring it forward in the first place. And for all of those who say, well, I'm not going out doing anything like that. We tried that 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago. This is today. What worked 20 years ago may not work today. But also what works today probably wouldn't have worked 20 years ago either. And I know what some say, may tell you, I just study the Bible on the internet. And that's okay if you're just studying the Bible, but don't let that be your church. Don't let that be your church service, the internet. Because there are some folks out there on the internet that'll tell you everything to get into your pockets. And once they get into your pockets, you got something going on now. I know it looks good when you watch TV and you see these mega buildings with all these people out there and just sitting there and listening to the Word of God, and they're being told this and that, and a lot of it is not true. What we need is the truth to be taught. And when the truth is taught, then the truth gets instilled in the people. And when the truth is instilled in the people, they take it and let it get instilled into other people. That's seed sowing. The Word of God is the seed. but we need more sowers. What if every farmer decided, well, I didn't get many apples, yellow apples last year. I'm not going to plant any yellow apples this year. I'm just going to plant red apples. And I'm just not going to take care of the trees that produce the yellow apples. Guess what? We'd have a shortage of what? Yellow apples. But we'd have a lot of red apples perhaps. That's not the way the Word of God is supposed to work. You may not ever see the seed you sowed. You may not ever see what happens to it. But then again, you may. But just thank God that you went out there and you sowed the seed. God will take care of the rest of it. God will take care of the increase. So with that said, I know my time is up now. With that said, I'm going to give you an issue the invitation. Now, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already been in that position before in your life, you've already been baptized, but you walked astray. And many of us do walk astray. How do we walk astray? Well, we just go off the track. You know, we're in a race. We're on a track. And sometimes we fall out of the race. We fall off the track. We have to get ourselves up, get back on the track, and get back in the race. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.